الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم. Previous week we were speaking about those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear halal and those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear haram, and there are certain things which are ambivalent, yet many people who do not know I have to hold it like this. So there are many things which are ambivalent and people do not know about them. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith which is reported by Nu'man bin Bashir in Bukhari and Muslim, that inna al-halal bayyin wa inna al-haram bayyin, that surely there are certain things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear, the halal which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things allowed which are clear, wa inna al-haram bayyin, and those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited is also clear, but between them there are certain things, wa baynahuma umurun mustabihat, that there are certain things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mustabih in the sense that many people do not know, are ambivalent. There are many things which are ambivalent and many people do not know them. لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس, that many people do not know them due to the fact of their knowledge, or due to the fact they do not possess the right tools to learn certain things. So those things which are halal, we know. Those things which are haram, again, we should know. But today the topic is going on about carrying on from last week, which is those things which are ambivalent, those things which are ambiguous, those things which are tend to be not clear to the people. Although some people may know, but the majority of the people do not know which way this is going. Is it halal or is it haram? It is those things that we have to be careful about. Why Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُحَاتِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, that those who stay away from those things which are ambivalent, those things which are mustabih, those things which are not clear, those things which are ambiguous, those things that we do not know, is it halal or haram? for certainty. Those things, if we refrain from them, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُحَاتِ, they abstain from such things, اِسْتَبْرَعَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, then they have gone to the utmost in looking after their deen and their honor. So these people will definitely would have safeguarded their deen and would have safeguarded their honor. These people will never ever compromise their deen, nor will their honor will ever be in any sort of way being downtrodden or in any way will be compromised. But those وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that those who do not take care, those who deliberately do not take care of what is halal or haram, or should I say they do take care of what is halal or haram, but when it comes to something that they do not know, they don't care, they carry on. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that much iman that if they know definitely it's haram, they will stay away. If they know definitely it's halal, they will do. But when it's something that they're not clear, they will just do it. Okay, probably halal, and that's it. That is their attitude. Probably halal. So those people who have that type of attitude and who do not take the extra care and making sure that what they are doing is a halal or haram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man waqa'a fi shubuhat waqa'a fi al-haram," that such people will definitely fall into haram. Such people will definitely fall into haram. Why? It's because such attitude will lead them into those things which at the face value is not 100% sure it is halal or haram, but in reality it is haram. And because they are so lax about it, and because they like to compromise, and because they do not be that cautious, hence they will fall into haram. And if they fall into haram, then my dear respected brothers, elders, the major sin will be written for them. Major sin will be written for them, which without tawbah will not be forgiven. Minor sins can be forgiven, but major sins cannot be forgiven without doing sincere tawbah. And when a person doesn't know he's doing haram, how is he going to make tawbah from it? He will only make tawbah from something that he knows he's doing haram. But to him, he's thinking, it's okay, fine, maybe it's halal, yeah, I'll carry on. If somebody does that and just merely says tawbah, tawbah, tawbah and carries on, that's not tawbah. That's making a mockery of tawbah. Tawbah has conditions. For tawbah to be accepted, certain conditions have to be met. Just by invoking or just by saying the word tawbah doesn't mean it's tawbah. Doesn't mean that you have sincerely repented. When a person sincerely repents, he doesn't do that thing again. But while he's eating or he's doing something, tawbah, tawbah, and he carries on doing it, that's not tawbah. That's making mockery. One is doing the haram and then another, you're doing that, you'll get double sin. You'll get double sin. Sincere tawbah is when a person, first of all, he feels ashamed. An-nadamu min an-nadamu tawbah. This is why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, an-nadamu tawbah. That when a person feels ashamed and he feels sorry for what he had done, that is the first condition. And the second condition is that he asks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third condition He promises, he makes azm. He promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will never do it again. He will never return to that amal. He will never do that action ever again. When a person does these things, then that will be called tawbah, and such tawbah, inshallah, will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah al-nasuh, sincere tawbah. And this is why Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who do such tawbah, they are like as if they have not done that sin. At-ta'ibu min al-zambi, kamal la zambala. That a person who sincerely makes repentance from that sin, he is like as if he has not even committed that sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely wipes the slate clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely removes any traces of that sin. And not only that, he replaces it with thawab, with good action, with rewards. So this is why, my dear respected ones, elders, those who will indulge in those things which are ambivalent, which are ambiguous, which is not known if it's halal or haram, and they fall into it, they do not know if it's halal, they're 100% not, they're not sure, then my dear respected ones, elders, these people will definitely fall into haram. And once you have fallen into haram, then the only way to get that sin forgiven is by sincere repentance, sincere tawbah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave a similitude, gave an example. كَالْرَاعِي يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَاءِ. It is like a shepherd who lets his animals graze near the forbidden pasturage. Meaning, certain grounds which are secluded for the king or for certain people. Public are not allowed to go and graze their animals, let their animals graze them. It is totally haram for the people. Meaning, it is against the law. It is against the law of that land. Haram for those people. So if a person, a shepherd, lets his animal graze near the forbidden pasturage, is there any certainty? Is there any guarantee that his animals will not enter into the forbidden pasturage? No. So as I was saying, that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a similitude, gave an example, that a shepherd who lets his animals graze near the forbidden pasture will be very close, or very soon his animals will enter into the forbidden pasture. Why? It's because those animals are grazing very close to that. And the animals will unknowingly enter into the forbidden pasture. Likewise, when a person is tinkering with the borders of Sharia, he doesn't know, is it halal or haram? And he is near the border, then very soon he will cross that border and enter into haram. Those categories which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, which as he himself has kept it for himself, nobody is allowed to do that. So yushiku an yarta'a fihi. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that such people who let their animals graze near the forbidden pasture, very soon that their animals will enter into the forbidden pasture and will start to graze from that. Allah, inna likulli malikin, Allah, inna likulli malikin himan, wa inna himallahi maharimu. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that every king has his secluded pasture, has his secluded land, which only the king uses. Like for example, the heir, the queen, has his Buckingham Palace. Not anybody can go into the Buckingham Palace, into the gardens of the palace and roam around there. Maybe going to near the other gardens, which are public places, but not that one. Anybody see to enter without the permission will be escorted out, even charged for trespassing, and God knows what other laws he has broken, or she. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept, وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكًا حِمًا وَإِنَّ حِمَ اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُ. Those things which are forbidden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that for himself. This, nobody is allowed to enter into that. So nobody is allowed to transgress the boundaries. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that if a person does not take care in what he does, then slowly he will enter into haram. And when he enters into haram, he will destroy his heart. This heart is the driving force of either doing good things or doing bad things. Allah, in wa inna fil jasad la mudghatan idha salahat salaha al jasad kullu wa idha fasadat fasada al jasad kullu ala wa hiya al qalb. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam went on to say that in the body there is a portion which, if it becomes corrupt, fasadat fasada al jasad kullu, then the whole body will become corrupt. But if that portion of the body become correct, then the whole body will become correct. Meaning, if the heart becomes corrupt, then the action that will disseminate from the body, the action that will come out from the bodily organs, will also be incorrect. But if the heart has been preserved good, and if the heart has kept good, then the action that will come out from the bodily organs will also be correct. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, when something is not clear, then we should take the utmost care of making sure that either this is halal we can take, or this is haram we abstain. And if we can't find out, then it is better to refrain. It is better to refrain. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, we should make that effort, especially when it comes to things that we normally do. And for that matter, food is such a thing which is the root of the things that we do. If the food that we intake, we know that it is 100% halal, then my dear respected brothers and elders, this will have an effect on the actions that we will do. And today, my dear respected brothers and elders, we see what the people are committing. We see what the people are doing. We see that today our children are not listening. Today we see our women, our men, our children are transgressing the boundaries. Today we see that there is so much disunity. Today we see how people are fighting within themselves, are quarreling. We see today that people are making dua day in and day out, yet their duas are not being accepted. Why is that, my dear respected brothers and elders? One of the causes, like I mentioned last week, is the food that we partake. It's the food that we consume. It's the food that we buy. This is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, we should not take this lightly. We should not take this lightly. Especially the meat, the chicken, things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made it halal when it is slaughtered in a certain manner. If it's not done, then it will stay haram. It will stay haram. Yet today, we are so relaxed. We are so relaxed. And because of that, we unknowingly eat haram, and that has a detrimental effect on our heart, and that will lead to haram actions. So this is why, my dear respected ones, elders, when today when we know, or even if we do not know, we do research, find out the things that we are eating, is it halal or haram? And I can categorically tell you, because of the research that I have done, especially in the meat and chicken market, that everything that we see today as labeled as halal is not halal. It's not halal. So many places there are, especially chicken that has been slaughtered in the un-Islamic way, slaughtered by machines. And majority of the avatars, chicken avatars especially, and the meat as well, are being electrified before slaughter. Are being electrified. This is not the prophetic way, my dear respected brothers and elders. This is not the sunnah way of slaughtering. And remember, the deen is for our protection. The practicing upon the deen is for our benefit. It does not benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if all of you, mankind and all jinnat, were to become the best of mankind, were to become like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then not a single degree of majestic will increase in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's majestic will not increase. Likewise, on the other hand, if all of you, mankind and jinnat, will become the worst of creation, were to become like shaitan, then Allah's majestic, his honor, his dignity will not decrease. So my dear respected brothers and elders, if we practice upon the deen, it is for our benefit. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to eat halal, it is for our benefit. And when we do it according to the sunnah, it will be for our benefit. And so this is why I'm saying, when chickens and all these things are done in the unprophetic way, being stunned, then my dear respected ones, elders, it will be of no benefit to us. And especially when these animals are being electrified, some of these animals die. Some of these animals die before they are being slaughtered. And if an animal is dead before it's slaughtered, then that meat is haram. It is classified as a carrion. It is classified as a dead meat. Hence, this meat would not be allowed to consume. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. This is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayat, that mayta, dead meat, is haram. And if it's not dead, my dear respected brothers and sisters, if it's not dead, let's accept that this animal did not die before it was slaughtered. It just became unconscious. Then my dear respected brothers and elders, the reason why we are told to slaughter in this manner is that the blood, which is the flowing blood, which is haram, be allowed to come out. And if you understand how the body works, blood is the carrier. It carries the oxygen to every single living organism in our body. That's why it travels. This is why the heart pumps. The whole purpose of pumping is to provide oxygen and energy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, maybe another time.